ngokulalela kwenu asibeke ithuba elifanayo.
A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. This is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube in Maryland.
And I'm Marvelous Mshanganya, who is broadcasting from my home in Washington, D.C. because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is currently ravaging the whole world, including Zimbabwe.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking with Zimbabwean journalist Opwell Chinono. But first, let's talk about COVID-19. According to the Zimbabwean Ministry of Health, there are 19 people who died of COVID-19 yesterday in the country, and 207 were actually tested positive for COVID-19. Up to now, since March 2020, there are 34,171 people who have tested positive for COVID-19, and out of this number, 27,759 people have actually recovered, and 1,288 have died. Marvelous.
Yes, Gibbs, like you said, we have an exclusive right here on VOA Studio 7 with Opwell Chinono, the journalist. We're going to be hearing from him about what he has been going through so far, and also his latest debut into the music world. Being a Friday, so it will be, you know, very exciting. If people have questions, if you can come up with your questions so that we can ask him. And as what Gibbs just said, we have 1,288 deaths in Zimbabwe, according to the Ministry of Health. And here in the United States, we see that President Joe Biden has said that in his first 100 days, he expects that there will be 100 million people that will be vaccinated for COVID-19, because America currently has a death rate at the moment, or the total number of people that have died due to COVID-19 has risen and is now above 400,000, Gibbs.
And U.S. President Joseph Biden says his country will work closely with African nations in many issues, including COVID-19. In a video posted on the White House website, Biden talked about the current African Union summit and other issues. So let's listen to what he said today, Marvelous.
Hello, everyone. I'm honored to send the best wishes of the people of the United States in advance of the 34th African Union summit. This past year has shown us how interconnected our world is and how our fates are bound up together. That's why my administration is committing to rebuilding our partnership around the world and re-engaging with international institutions like the African Union. We must all work together to advance our shared vision of a better future, a future of growing trade and investment that advances prosperity for all our nations, a future that advances lives of peace and security for all our citizens, a future committed to investing in our democratic institutions and promoting the human rights of all people, women and girls, LGBTQ individuals, people with disabilities, and people of every ethnic background, religion, and heritage. To reach this future, we also must confront the serious challenges we face. That includes investing more in global health, defeating COVID-19, and working to prevent, detect, and respond to future health crises, and partnering with the African CDC and other institutions to advance health security. Raising our climate ambitions and ensuring developing nations can mitigate and adapt to climate impacts that are already causing pain. And engaging in sustained diplomacy in connection with the African Union to address conflicts that are costing lives all across the African continent. None of this is going to be easy, but the United States stands ready now to be your partner in solidarity, support, and mutual respect. We believe in the nations of Africa, in the continent-wide spirit of entrepreneurship and innovation. And through the challenges ahead, although they're great, there is no doubt that our nations, our people, the African Union, were up to this task. I hope I can be with you next time in person. I want to thank you, though. Thank you. May God bless you all.
That is the U.S. President, Mr. Joseph Biden, speaking there. You know, he was at the White House, Marvelous, where he actually released this video. So There's a lot that you said there, but in a very short kind of moment, like, you know, re-engaging African nations and talking about the African summit and all these kind of things. And he also talked about the issue of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where we are today.
Yes, and I think a lot of people were actually looking at the new U.S. President Joe Biden to perhaps issue a statement on the relationship between the United States and Africa, because in the previous administration, it had remained very tense after, as we remember, there were, you know, statements that were said back then. But I think a lot of people will see this as a welcome move for Africa, because it's coming out right at the beginning. He's just in his second week and he's already engaging the African Union.
Yes, and then when we look at what Johns Hopkins University is reporting, we have noticed that, you know, there are so many cases of COVID-19. You know, up to now, since last year, there are over 104 million people that have tested positive for COVID-19. And out of this number, 2.3 million people have actually died. And in the USA, there are over 27 million people who have contracted COVID-19, and 455,875 people have died. So COVID-19 is causing havoc, Marvelous.
Yes, and as I mentioned earlier on, it seems that's one of one of the points that U.S. President Joe Biden says he wants to tackle as he starts his work. In his second week, he's already put up a task force to look at the situation of COVID-19. He has been looking into increasing the number of vaccines that will be available, as he aims to have 100 million people vaccinated in his first 100 days.
Back to our topic of the day today, we've got journalist Topol Chinono, who was arrested in July last year and was charged with inciting violence at a time Zimbabwe was planning to stage an anti-corruption protest. He has been arrested several times now and charged with publishing or communicating falsehoods. A video he posted on Twitter showing a policeman involved in a tussle with a woman over a baby said to have been killed by a policeman was disputed by the Zimbabwe Republic Police. Before we go into many issues, I think we have to know who Opel is. So let's bring him here and talk about, you know, what he is all about. So, Opel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Keith, and Marvelous for hosting me.
So the first question that people want to know, who is Opel?
Well, I'm a journalist, a Zimbabwean journalist and documentary filmmaker. I started journalism at the Harare Polytechnic, and then I left to do a master's in international journalism at City University in London. I worked for the BBC and came back home in 2003. Then in 2006, I won a British government scholarship to go back to England to start documentary filmmaking. And since 2008, I was working for ITV News, which is the biggest independent news producer in Britain. And I left them in 2015. I started writing for the New York Times, and then I went back to documentary filmmaking full time.
So we know, Mr. Chinono, that there are many journalisms in the world. I can mention them: investigative, political, crime, business, arts, celebrity, education, sports, and advocacy journalism. Which one is your journalism here? Which one do you practice?
I've always found it difficult to pigeonhole myself to a particular type of journalism because, as you know, now after Sunday, I love music. And I've written about music extensively for a long time. I also like politics. I've written about politics. But I think what has happened is that because of the high level of corruption and looting of public funds and the plundering of Zimbabwe's natural resources, I found myself in a situation where I was writing a lot more about these things because they were affecting and they still affect the quality of life for the average Zimbabwean. 95% of our citizens who are a potential workforce do not have jobs. And invariably, because of what's happening in Zimbabwe, I found myself writing about these issues and how these people ended up not having jobs. So the world media started referring to me as an investigative journalist. And but before that, a year before, I had been winning awards with a documentary film on mental health. Some were referring to me as a mental health advocate. So I'm comfortable whichever place where people want to put me, as long as I'm articulating the issues that affect our people on a day-to-day basis.
So before Marvelous comes in here, so let me pose another question. You know, there are some tweets that you have done and all these others, you know. In most of these cases, do you actually seek government, comment? Because in most cases, we know that there are certain ethics of journalism that demand that we should do that. So do you actually seek some kind of comments from ZANU-PF, comments from the police, and all those relevant authorities?
So, for instance, the case that got me into trouble in 2020, when I was arrested on the 20th of July, the issue of corruption, I actually started by asking for comment from the Secretary, Finance Secretary, Permanent Secretary of Finance, George Gwamatami. And when he gave me wrong information, which was not similar to what I had on my documents, that's how the whole thing started unraveling. So, yes, I do ask for comment, but they do not want to give you comment most of the times. Immediately after that comment from Judge Gwamatanga, I asked him to comment again based on what I had on the documents, and he just went cold on me. So we try to get comment from these guys, but they don't want to comment, especially on issues that they know they are in the wrong, issues that they know we have evidence of. They just keep quiet. They don't want to comment.
Yeah, because, you know, the reason why I'm posing this question is there are some people who are saying Wokwell appears to be an activist than a journalist, you know, in the sense that he tweets certain things, including that video, and you are an investigative journalist, and when you tweeted that video, did you first say, okay, is this correct? Is this factual? Because, you know, ethically, there are so many issues that we do as journalists that we shouldn't cross, you know? So did you do some of those things?
The fact of the matter is I actually did not tweet that video. It is the Zimbabwe Republic Police that lied to the citizens and to the world that I had actually tweeted it. That's why when I went to court, we asked for the evidence. In the past, they produced tweets, printouts. Mm-hmm. They couldn't because I never tweeted the video. And the law that they used to charge me does not exist. And that has been my point all along since my last arrest on the 8th of January, that I was arrested for something that I did not do. As a professional journalist and a senior journalist, I'm quite aware of the need to verify things before you put information out, and I always do that. I would never have tweeted that video without verification, but I actually didn't tweet it. This was just political persecution. They came to my door to say, we've come to you to arrest you because you tweeted a video. And I said I did not tweet the video, but I was arrested nonetheless, taken to court. Strangely, the magistrate said that there was overwhelming evidence, which of course was naturally kicked out when we went to the High Court, because the judge said the magistrate misdirected himself because there was no evidence at all which was put. My lawyer, Mr. Harrison Gomo, asked the investigation officer, Mr. Marwisa, who was on the stand in court, to produce the evidence. He couldn't produce the evidence because there was never a tweet in the first place.
So, in essence, you are not a political activist. Is that so?
As a journalist in Zimbabwe. Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying that I'm just a Zimbabwean citizen who happens to be a journalist. The issues that I raise from time to time, especially on my timelines on social media, are issues that are close to my heart. I worry about the fact that 2,500 Zimbabwean women die every year trying to give birth in our hospitals. That's the equivalent of 15 jumbo jets crashing every year and killing Zimbabwean pregnant women. So I worry about those things. But the people on the other side, they then call me an activist because I'm bringing up issues that the media in Zimbabwe has been ignoring. The media in Zimbabwe has not been covering the fact that our women are dying giving birth. The media in Zimbabwe has not been covering that our hospital only need $50 million for them to function without any shortages. All our central hospitals, that's all they need. They've not been covering that 100 million US dollars worth of gold is smuggled every month. That's a budget for 2 years for all our central hospitals. So I bring these issues and they rub the authorities the wrong way because they are used to a circumstantial space where there is no reporting of these issues.
Marvelous. Can I chip in?
Aiwa, kune awo vachangobva kupinda muchirongwa chedu. Tiri pano pa Live Talk apo tine mutori wenhau ane mukurumbira Hope Uchimwono. Tinokuchingamidza ipa chirongwa chedu mukoma Hope. Mungatitsananguro yekuti ndiani chaizvo anonzi Hope Uchimwono. Vazhinji vanoda kuziva kuti chii chakaita kuti muuye mimbo mafungo kuti aiwa ini ndo basa randa kuda kuita ipi rekupota ndichitsapa nhau ndichiwanikwa ndichipinda imomo muri kunetsa panguva ino zvinhu zvakaoma munyika.
And in the not end, it's marvelous. And you know, the Hope Uchimwono, Daka Jalwa Parara Hospital, and the Kakura Kamre, and Dom Shapangu, didn't Toro now, Agad Zirabasarectora now, Parare Polytechnic, Vandazo by Papo, and Tiendaku, Miriko Makunga, Britain, Kwandagano, Dizaz, Victoria now, Neku Gazira Mafium. And as a Shandira, you know, the British Broadcasting Corporation, Yoku UK, and the biggest broadcaster, Yoku UK, Vandazo Zokabumusha, Kuti Ndi Tangu Shandra and Rukumusha, Pandagat Zokabumusha, and Daga Vandazo Pua, a scholarship into Zokere Zakare.
So, in case we actually anticipated that, we could have such problems in terms of connectivity. So, we've got a senator here, Senator Kalipani Pukeni, to weigh in on what Mr. Hope Uchimwono is actually doing. So, welcome to the program, Senator.
Good evening to the listeners. Good morning to you.
Thank you so much. So, tell us, I think you have been hearing what Hope Uchimwono has been saying, you know, in terms of his journalism and how he's practicing it. What's your take on what he's saying?
Well, first of all, I want to thank him in absentia for the service which he is rendering to the country. As he said, he's a citizen of Zimbabwe and he speaks largely on matters that are bothering him, and by and large, they are bothering ordinary Zimbabweans. And I would wish to meet him in person sometime and we discuss other matters. His issue has bothered me a lot, because all the time what we get, of course, from the media and the reasons behind his arrest is worrying. There is something I commented once when this matter was raised, was that this practice of incarcerating innocent Zimbabweans, because before a competent court of law proves you guilty, you are presumed innocent. Mm-hmm. And if you look in his case from last year when the arrest started, he has really spent a considerable amount of time in incarceration. And I have never heard of any case where he has been convicted. And for me, that's a big worry. The latest one worried me most when he claimed that he never treated anything. And secondly, even the law that was used to arrest him, not only him, remember, Advocate Job Sikala was also arrested. And what really broke my heart also is Advocate Mahere, also a lady, was also arrested. So that's a worrying trend. I don't want to speak much out of ignorance. That's what I'm saying. Opportunity permitting, I really would like to have one-on-one with them just to really understand what exactly went wrong there. But if we are to take what we are getting from them and the social media, it's a really, really worrying trend where a government power to arrest is abused for other reasons besides securing an accused to appear before a court of law.
Yes, Skwelufaya, yes, ndevele konoko, Senator, uatukuluma akoba. Utubona njani konoko geyewe tulwa nguopo elchima.
Okay. No, benditi hai ngia mlingelela nani ngalimela la wala lele makaya. Ngithanda ukumbonga ngomsebenzi wakho omuhle awenza ngento ezingakhuluma ngazo yinto ezimhluphayo kodwa ngathi ezihluphayo labantu emakhaya indaba yakhe yangidinta kakhulu isaqala ngathi hhayi okubuhlungu ngendaba kaHopewell ukuthi uvalelwa nje akakathonisiswa enkantolo kanti bekungela into ebonisayo ukuthi uthe uzobaleka so ingizwise ubuhlungu leya manje so kuvalelwe no advocate Jobsikhala kwavalelwa lo advocate Mahere bathe bevalelwa nje lo omunye wathi akathwithanga lutho uhopwena kodwa bonke boyi-3 bathi bavalelwe ngomthetho ongekhoyo ngoba i-constitutional court yawustrike down lo mthetho so kungizwise ubuhlungu lokho and ngiyafisa ukuthi ema ngabe kwenza engixena abani nje babo abake bavalelwa ngeke ngizwe ukuthi ngempela ngempela lokho esikuzwayo yikhona na and angazizathu sokuthi mbadawuthe ma kungukuthi yikho ngempela okwenzakalayo hhayi uchaqisa umzimba ukuthi abantu bazovalelwa bengenamacala ma umuntu inkantolo ingakamthole necala akumelanga avalelwe lowo muntu ngesilungu kuthiwa i-infringement of their basic rights or universal rights wonke umuntu unelungelo abe free ahambe nje njalo akhulume into angaphakathi kwakhe la ebonayo whether ngepolitiki or ngeyani so njengoba bethi akukho mthetho osetshenziswayo ukuthi bavalelwe kuya ngethusa nami nje
yes marvelous Chipinde
I just received a message. Somebody just sent a WhatsApp to say, hey, please, you said exclusive with Hopo. Akupi. Saka Senator, meno mutipo jwa muno ona jirupiti ka Paris. No, taka mira utitione vachi mwono. Vachi zoka shakare vachi taura wapungwa za wono. Tipane vachi nji waka rindi za wakunzwa utivaru kutichi Paris. No.
Ya, Mwada kutin kutare neshona.
Ehe. Kana msiri comfortable, don't worry. Tunogona.
Okay.
It's okay. I can play. Pane wanu wangabachumira ma voice notes for Hopo. So that's okay. Kana msiri comfortable. Ndinotienda. Regating bones. Well, ime message.
Hey, Facebook. Mwada kutin kutare neshona. Mwada kutin kutare neshona. Mwada kutin kutare neshona.
Hopo, naku try.
Mwada kutin kutare neshona. Mwada kutin kutare neshona. Aywa, tinotienda kutin nasi. Mwada muna baba wa shingono. Pamepo aiwacha ndinongotenda nokukurudzira nebasa guru iko na vachimono tikati mukati menyika yeZimbabwe vanhu vakawanda vanoona zvinhu vachinyarara asi ndinokuva tenda zvikuru vachimono onekwa ari umwe murume akashinga mukati menyika yeZimbabwe akashinga mukati merwizimu nemvuu zhinji akashinga mukati menyika yeZimbabwe ine dziva rine makaro mazhinji asiwo vangorimo vakashinga mukati menyika muzere shumba dzinoparadzana vapera asiwo varimo vakawanda vakatiza mukati menyika yeZimbabwe saka tirongotenda zvizhinji nesimba kuti neeffort inoita baba vachimono nekuti nguva dzose kwatinonzwa kuti vasungwa vadai vasungwa kwechipiri vasungwa kwechitatu vanyora vachinzi vanonyora manyepo tichiona kuti zvavari kunyora izvozvo zvechokwadi nguva dzose panonzi vabvunzava kuti vawane chitsvaga rudo vachidzidzise chibati chirandiwa toga asingonyengetera kuti mwarudenga inzwai mwarudenga inzwai mwarudenga inzwai asi pari kuti tizoona aiwa mwarudenga vachishandira saka ndirangokurudzira zvikuru kuti vachimono varambe vakashinga nekuti munhu ari kuramba achirwari mukati kwenyika yeZimbabwe avarwi vari kunze kwenyika sezvinoita vazhinji kuti tinotaura tiri kunze kwenyika asi kuti ava vanotorwa vari mukati menyika yeZimbabwe vaitofesana majere vaitofesana nekushoro nekushungurudzwa vari mukati menyika yeZimbabwe saka zvakafanira izvi tirangokurudzira kuti aiwa vhibva baba vachimono rambai makadaro isi chedu sevafundisi chiri kukunamatirai nokukupai makwara kuti mwarudenga kuvhuri nzira negwara kuzva munoona zvose muzvibuditse zvokuti dai taiwana nhamba dzenyu
Aiwa, apo tanga tiri kunzwa isu kubva kuna mufundisi moyo vari kutaura ivo vachiti mazwi aya vanga vanzvanzvino pari zvino saka ndo zvanga zviri kuitika ameno kids
yeah so we are trying to get hold of Hopo Chingono it appears as if he lost power altogether at his house so it seems power just went and so we are still trying to find other ways or other means of getting in touch with him And hopefully we are going to do that. So, but when power goes, you know what happens? End up with nothing. So remember, Wopwell has been now engaged in so many things. And one of the things that he has been doing is through song, you know, politics or journalism through song. Let's listen to his song, Them Looked. You know it, Nobles?
Of course, yes. I asked him prior to us going on air, because there is actually one of our listeners here who wrote on the VOA show, Munenji, they saying, Shefu, I'm Matendere Zamwana Wangu Brain, and 2 years, ano go famba achiti, demute. And he had a good laugh about it before we came on the show. So maybe let's listen to him with his new track, Demute.
Lord have mercy, mercy, mercy. Daddy hoping at your party, party, party. Lord of them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Hospitals, no medication, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Better youth, no jobs, you know, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. No water to drink in townships, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Lord have mercy. Mr. Devant over the rhythm, Mr. Devant over the version. Crowd of people come at them, said that me a champion. When me come in, I did that, me capture just a teacher. When it come to me, lyrics, no competition. Them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. They have no sense of purpose, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. The elderly dying without medication. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Lord have mercy, hey. Looting is a problem in Zimbabwe. Looting, we have to stop it right away.
Them loot, them loot, them loot. Now we've got to open back again, because we're told his power actually went off. And I think now he's in. But I guess he has got a problem with his connection now. So we'll still try to get him. He came for a while, just for about some few seconds, and then disappears. Disappeared. Then he's back again. Let's hear what he's saying about them loot and other issues. Sorry, Hopewell, we're told your power is giving you some problems. So, welcome again.
Thank you. I don't know what had gone wrong. I could hear you. I could still hear you when you were interviewing the senator. I don't know what happened with the connection, but I could hear everything that you were saying. And I
okay.
Could hear you.
Okay, wonderful. So let's get as much as possible from you, you know, from the horse's mouth. So looking at all these issues that you've been trying to cover, so what is the objective here, you know, in terms of your coverage?
I think the objective is simply to do what journalists do, that is to put out information in order to assist the citizens messing with public life when they're dealing with government, when they're dealing with their councils. The problem that we've had in Zimbabwe is that since 2000, when this crisis, political crisis, which manifests itself through economics, started, there was a systematic decimation of the media arena as well. Media was not immune to the destruction of the economy. So you find that the good journalists would go into the corporate world or would leave the country altogether. And we ended up with media houses laying off people and carrying on with the skeleton staff. So that has affected how information is put out there. The other problem is that our government was used to controlling the media landscape. They owned ZBC, they owned the Herald, they owned the Chronicle, they owned Manika Post. And when new licenses were issued, they were given to government entities as well. So they are now struggling to deal with social media, because on social media we're able to put out information. And someone like me, who has a huge following, when I put out information, it gets citizens to interact with each other. I will put out something as a tweet and disappear, and people will spend the whole day discussing on that thread. And this is what is really worrying the government. That's why you find that they arrest people like myself for no reason at all. And if you listen to each time I was given bail on three occasions in the High Court, the judges were saying, like the second time, Justice Sitaka actually said, there is no offense that was committed here. It's debatable whether there was an offense or not. So it's one of those things that inspired me to say, I'm going to use social media to help the citizens get the right information, especially when it comes to corruption, because our people die in hospitals because the crooked and the corrupt are stealing money that is meant to buy medication. And if you fall sick in Zimbabwe today, if you get COVID today, and you get into a situation where you need to go into hospital, there are no beds available. So it falls upon us as citizens and as journalists to expose the people who are causing such situations where we end up having people dying in homes without hospital care.
Your critics are saying Hopewell Chingono doesn't respect the laws of Zimbabwe. Like, you know, your first case, you know, they say you mustn't send out kids, you mustn't do any of those kind of things. But you continue doing those kind of things. And now they believe that Hopewell is actually deliberately breaking the law for financial gain. Is that the case?
That is not true. Again, people who are saying that they did not read the judgment that was issued in September by Justice Tawanda Chitapi, he said that tweeting is not a crime. It is what you tweet that determines whether there is a crime that has been done or not. And he said, I can continue tweeting. I can not only tweet about issues that are perceived to mobilize citizens to do violent acts or protests. So my bail conditions actually allow me to tweet. That's why the government has never taken me to court for violating my court my bail conditions, because they allow me to tweet.
So now, looking at this other thing that you have been constantly being, you're constantly being dragged to court and you go to a prison, remand prison. Is there anything that tells you inside yourself that maybe you are doing this for money? Is there anything like that? That you are not doing it for citizens, but for financial gain?
No, those are mantras that come from ZANU-PF when they try to attains the people that they perceive to be their adversaries, political adversaries or critics. Everyone who disagrees with ZANU-PF is then called a Western pawn, is then called a Western puppet. Those are things that we've been living with from day one. Since I was a little kid, we used to hear Ngomo being called a puppet until the Unity Accord in 1987. Anyone who disagrees and argues with ZANU-PF is called a puppet. But what I am saying is what they should engage on. Is it true that they stole money meant for COVID? The fact is, yes, it is true. Is it true that hospitals do not...
And you have some paper trail, right, to prove that's
yes.
Your case?
Yes, I actually produced the evidence. I've got the bank accounts where the money was taken to. Some of the money was supposed to... accounts which did not exist. I produced all this evidence. This is what these people are supposed to engage me on. But instead of engaging on the load of evidence that I have for the looting and the plunder and the corruption, they then start saying that I'm a puppet of the West. Some actually go as far as lying that I'm gay, you know, is to try to denigrate my persona in order to choose what I'm doing. When they arrest me, they are trying to instill the fear of God in journalists to say, if you do like what Hopewell Chingono does, exposing us on our corruption, we will send you to prison. The right thing for any sensible government to do in a democratic society is to engage on the issues that have been put on the table. They should have come out and said, Hopewell Chingono is lying. We did not steal money. Here is the evidence. But they never engage on those issues that I raise, because they know that they are true.
Now, tell me something before I bring in Marvelous. You know, at the end of the day, what you are investigating in terms of corruption, how is it, oscillating with the public? Or maybe let me put it this way. Is there any significant impact on what you are investigating? Or people now are looking at you like a person who's always going to court, a person who's going to remand prison, and forgetting about those corruption issues. So how do you put that?
There's been a huge impact in my reporting and that of other journalists as well, because I'm not the only one who does this type of journalism. You've got people like News Hawks and Zim Live. They do the same kind of investigative journalism. When I exposed what the health minister was doing, he was fired. That's a huge impact. I'm actually, in the past 20 years, we were the first group of journalists in the past 20 years or even more to get a government minister fired for corruption. A lot of things have changed. In fact, the discourse around corruption and looting has changed. That's why when I put out this song where I was lamenting about corruption and the looting of public funds, it went viral and global. World media, including yourselves, are covering this issue because of that impact that has been a product of the reporting of myself and many other journalists.
Marvelous, can you chip in? You know, yeah, he is now. He's back, you know.
Tinokuchingamidza hopo zvakare nekuti pane tamboridza pane audio yanga iri panapa yaunzwa na Mr. Moyo. Asi pane question iri kubva kune one of our followers on VOA Sean anonzi JDK. Hanzi, konai hopo kuti uri kufirei pane mabasa iwaya uri kuita?
Muupenyu wedu sevagari venyika yeZimbabwe. Basa redu ratinofanira kuita panguva yatakatarirwa naMwari kuti tive tichigara muno muZimbabwe tisati taenda. Tinofanira kumeka sure kuti nyika yedu yakagara zvakanaka kuitira kuti kana taakuzoipa kune vana vedu nevazukuru vedu vanoiwana iri in a better place than zvatakaiwana tiri. Tikanyarara makororo achiba mari, mari iyi inofanira kuve ichishanda muzvipatara. Vanhu vari kufa muzvipatara muZimbabwe. Kana usina hama iri kunze kwenyika, unotofira mumba mako. Saka vachimono vakanyarara, vakafanana kuti vachimono siyai vanhu vafe imi munofira. Zviri patisu isvaro yakuru kuti tinofanira kuprotekta vana vadiki. Kana tisingataure vana vachienda kuzvikoro kusina mabhuku, zvinozoreve chii? Vanhu vakawanda, over 95% yevanhu vanofanira kuva vari kubasa, havana mabasa. Tikasataura kuti kubiwa kuri kuitwa zvisikwa zvenyika zvatakapiwa naMwari zvakaita sana goridhe nemadiamonds kwakaipa, vanhu vanozowana kupi mabasa? So mibvunzo iyoyi ndo inoita kuti ndiite zvandinoita. Ndava ndinoda kuti kana ndazofawo vana vangu vachizokwanisa kutaura kuti aiwa, even paiitwa basa reugorore baba vedu vakamiriwo vakaita zvakati zvakati. Ndo mweya wakaita kuti Zimbabwe iwana independence. Vamwe vanhu vaingogona kuti konhai tongogara rokunetsaniranei na Smith. Nhai ushiwo kunze kunetsaniranei na Smith dai wangogara inga uri Dr. One waita basa rako. Asi vakazvipira kuti nyika isungunuke kuita kuti vanhu vese vawane upenyu hwakanaka. Upenyu hwakanaka hunovawatakuti dzinenge dzichiba mari yehurumende. Ndosaka tichizotaura kuti aiwa, vakafira nyika ino havana kufira kuti mube mari yehurumende, havana kufira kuti mube zvisikwa zvinofanira kuve zvichishevanwa nevana veZimbabwe. Vakafira kuti tisungunuke tive neupenyu hwakanaka, munhu wese akwanise kuwana basa, akwanise kuendesa vana vake kuzvikoro zvakanaka, akwanise kuwanawo imba yake kuti agare nemhuri yake.
Saka apa mungati basa ramuri kuita iri riri kubatsira here? Tinoona munogara muri muchitorongo muchinyorwa zvakasiyana siyana ipapo padande mutande pamusoro pemabasa amuri kuita iwaya ekuti muedze kunyora pamusoro peuori hwamunoti huri muhurumende. Munoona pane chiri kusanduka here mune zvamuri kuita pari zvino?
Pakushanda kwangu semutoro wenhau gore rakapera, ndoda kupa muenzaniso gore rakapera, ndakanyora nezvemari 60 million US dollars yanga ichidiwa nevanhu vemuhurumende zvichiitwa through ofisi yegurukota rezveutano anonzi Obedaya Moyo. Vaobedaya Moyo vakazotandaniswa muhurumende nokuti ndatamburitsa inini nevamwewo vanga vachinyora tanga taburitsa humbowo hwokuratidza kuti mari iri kubiwa. Mari inofanira kuere COVID. Ana zviremba nemanesi edu vanga vachitoshaya magloves chaiwo ekuti vapfeke kana vachirapa vanhu. Ndava COVID inouraya, maoko anofanira kugezwa nesanitizer. Sanitizer dzaishayikwa ndanyawa mari yanga ichibiwa. Saka noise yatakaita iyo tichiburisa information yakaita kuti Obedaya Moyo vadzingwe basa, yakaita kuti zvimwe zvinhu zvachiitika zvimire. Saka kana ndichienda kunogara kujeri pandakasungwa katatu ndakagara 8 days, Kana 80 days izozo zvichiita kuti vanhu vanga vachazofa dai tatisangana kuchaura vararame. Aiwa, handione chakaipa. Ndikatogara mujeri gore rese kuti vanhu vararame.
Maybe tell us a little about your experience actually in jail and, you know, some of the allegations that come up when people attack you. They say you're working for the West, you're getting paid to do all these exposés. What was your experience like, and how do you handle all this pressure that comes with being on social media and, you know, exposing some of these atrocities or, you know, some of these corruption cases that we see happening in Zimbabwe?
Each time when I'm doing my work, I'm very comfortable and I have a proper, a clean conscience because I know that I'm doing the right thing. ZANU-PF government would have been the first government to come and arrest me if they had evidence that I was working for a Western country or a foreign government to destabilize the country. They haven't done that because that is not true. I'm not working for any foreign government. I'm not working as a puppet of any institution. I'm just working as a journalist, like any other journalist. In the instance that I was doing what they allege that I was doing, there are laws which are there to deal with those issues, but those laws have not been used because they know that what they are saying is not true. This is just crude propaganda that is used to try and distract citizens from focusing on the real issues of the day that are affecting them. Issues like people in townships do not have access to clean drinking water. Issues like the roads that we drive on are all potholed, and yet we are paying road levies, we are paying toll fees every day. Issues like 95% of our potential workforce does not have jobs, and this is because of terrible policies which end up creating a situation where we have a currency that doesn't work, and foreign investors and even local investors are saying, how do we operate in a business environment where there's no currency? Issues like, why are people dying in their homes when there are hospitals that are supposed to be treating them? They are dying because there's no medication in those hospitals. Issues like, in the past 30 days alone, 6 Zimbabwean doctors have died from COVID-19. They don't have sufficient PPEs, and the nurses don't have sufficient PPEs. The matron at Harare Hospital died last month, and nurses are having to go to hospital, sometimes wrapped around in blankets in order to avoid infection from COVID-19. This past week, 66 nurses and doctors tested positive to COVID at one hospital alone in Chinoy. That is unacceptable. And those are the issues that I raise. So if the government wants to be genuine and they want to engage the basis of what they say they were elected to do, then they should engage on the issues that we raise. Is it true or not that 66 nurses and doctors were infected at Chinoy? If it's not true, then they should say, no, Chimono, you are lying, it's not true. But they don't say so because they know that what we are saying is true. And our job as journalists is to bring out these self-evident truths to the public so that they can make decisions when they interact with their public officials.
Tell us a bit about your experience in jail, you know. How is it in Luan prison?
I was at Chikurubi, and it's actually rated as the worst prison on the continent in Africa. And it's something that I used to read about, but the fact that I ended up going there, it gave me a front row seat to actually be able to comment about it. So the first thing is, there is a big hospital there. It has no medication at all. It's a reflection of what's happening in our society. People who are prisoners, the inmates there, they have a terrible diet. They eat porridge with nothing in the morning. They are given a lunch of beans and badly cooked salad. The beans is just boiled. There's no cooking oil, no tomatoes, no onions, nothing. And the same meal is repeated in the evening. And that meal, that diet is repeated for 365 days. There's nothing. Yet prisons is allocated money. And you wonder, where is this money going to? We are in a pandemic at the moment, COVID. There were no masks. Even when I was there the last time, last week, prisoners didn't have masks. They only get masks when they're going to court because it's mandatory for one to have masks when they're in court. Prisoners do not have soap to wash their hands or wash their clothes. That's how bad it is. We are encouraged through World Health Organization to wash our hands with soap, but these guys do not have soap. They do not have toilet paper. They actually use pages from Bibles to use as toilet paper. That's how terrible the situation is. Sometimes when they fall sick, there's no medication. In fact, 3 weeks ago, before I was incarcerated, I posted a picture of a prisoner who was, you know, on the verge of dying because they were sick because of malnutrition, and the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights had to send a doctor to go and assist this prisoner. So that is a reflection of what Zimbabwe has become. So that's why I always joke with people when they say, oh, congratulations, you came out of prison. And I said, oh, yeah, I came out of Shkurubi prison into the big prison that Zimbabwe has become. Because even in the country, those who are not in prison don't have access to the resources that they need. If they fall sick tonight and they need to be hospitalized, they do not have the money. People are under lockdown. They are not allowed to go out. And yet 65% of those who are earning a living are doing so through the informal sector. The informal sector is shut down. The government did not give them a social net so that they can assist themselves and feed their families.
Now, let's get into another form of journalism that you are practicing now. Just listen to yourself, you know, in this song, right? Let's just try to cue it in, and then you hear exactly what you said.
Lord have mercy, mercy, mercy. Daddy hoping I your party, party, party. Lord of them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Hospitals, no medication, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Ghetto youth, no jobs, you know them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. No water to drink in townships, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. Lord have mercy. Mr. Devonta for the rhythm, Mr. Devonta for the version. Crowd of people come out of them, said that me a champion. When they come in, I did that, make a check as a teacher. When they come to me, lyrics, no competition, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. They have no sense of purpose, them loot. Them loot, them loot, them loot. The elderly dying without medication. Them loot, them loot, them loot. For mercy, hey. Looting is a problem in Zimbabwe. Looting, we have to stop it right away.
Them loot, them loot, them loot. Them loot,
in water.
Them loot,
whoa.
Them loot, them loot, them loot.
People are dying.
Them loot, them loot, them loot, them loot.
Them loot,
them loot,
them loot,
them loot, them loot, them loot.
House are tolerance in my way.
Them loot, them loot, them loot, them loot.
Kapula we tonga.
That's what you have caused now. What is this? Is this fair journalism? Let's face it openly.
It was never put out as a piece of journalism. This was just Hopeful the Citizen, who was, I was in my study where, exactly where I'm sitting right now. I was reading and I got bored and I started reflecting, as I had been doing when I was in prison. Mm-hmm. About conversations I was having with so many youths last year when I was accusing them of not participating in political, economic, and social issues that affect their day-to-day lives. And then I decided to say, oh, you know, a lot of our youth in Zimbabwe, they listen to reggae music. Let me try and just do something talking about the issues that I encourage them to engage with on a day-to-day basis and see how they will react. So that's what I did, and then when I put it out, it went viral. It was never a form of journalism. It was just me as a citizen just interacting with the youth and using a language and art form that they are more comfortable with.
But as a journalist, is this not toxic in terms of your writing? Because when you look at fairness and impartiality, it means you are wearing a jacket of a journalist every hour, every minute, every second. So does this not discredit you somehow?
No, it doesn't discredit me. Newspapers have editorials. They comment on issues that affect citizens that they're covering. Television stations have talk shows, like the one that we're having at the moment. People are expressing opinion. And what I did with that song, I was expressing opinion and fact. Because it is a fact, and I've proved it, that money is being looted. So I was just saying what I say every day when I write newspaper columns for international newspapers like the New York Times or the Guardian, or when I'm reporting for the BBC. I was just doing it using an art form that I knew would be more receptive. The youth would be more receptive to it if I used that art form. It could have been, the words that I used in that song could have been in an article in the New York Times. So I just see it as a different platform that I used, but otherwise there's no difference.
Like I played the other one done by Vusa Mkaya. I think you heard it, right? There are so many people doing such things. And I'm told you got another one from China, you know, and you actually played it to us. It seems, you know, it's catching fire, you know, all over social media. So what do you say about such impact of what you're doing in the world?
I guess it shows that what I was saying actually affects so many people. Vusa's version is actually the most favorite out of all the versions that have been done. And I've convinced him that he needs to do a long song, and he's going to do it. There's actually one of the most famous guitarists in Africa called Helen Ibe. She's Nigerian. She's actually working on another version, because these issues are not specifically Zimbabwean. They affect all of us on the continent. There's corruption across the continent. It is the levels, I guess, that differ and attenuate. It's worse in Zimbabwe. There are only 22 countries in the world that are worse than Zimbabwe. That is how bad our corruption has become. So it is important for people like myself and yourself who have media voices, and we can reach huge numbers of people, to engage and also to remind the policymakers that their role in society is to create a conducive environment for the citizens to thrive, and not to take that which is meant to build hospitals or roads or schools or create employment for our people.
Let's have our own version of Dem Loot. Go for it.
Dem Loot, Dem Loot, Dem Loot, Dem Loot. No money in the banks, you know, Dem Loot. No medication in hospitals, Dem Loot.
Yeah, so marvelous. Keep in there.
I have a question, a fan favorite. Were you in the same cell with Levels, the producer, and DJ Fanton? Because a lot of people have been saying these are the effects of having Fanton and Levels in the same cell. Were you in the same cell with them?
No, we were actually at different prisons. I was at Chikurubi and they were at Harare Remand prison.
Okay.
I would have loved to meet them in prison, but we were at different prisons.
Okay. There's a serious question that came in from Lucindo Ngwe Arikuno ku America. Angari kuti tichaure nyaya ye denda re COVID mumajeri pari zvino. Tisatadzokera zvedu ku Dem Loot.
Mujeri vanhu vakawanda varikubata COVID. Varungoponeswa nenyasha dzamwari. Imwe problem irimo mujeri ndeyekuti kutestwa kwacho kunotonetsa. Vamwe vanongorwara vasingatombozivi kuti COVID, vamwe vanorwara vachifa vasingazivi kuti COVID. Pane rimwe jeri randakatonzwa kuti rine vanhu 6 vakafa last week, mishonga yacho panenge pasina. Saka itori big problem yemajeri. Ndosaka ndichikurudzira vana veZimbabwe kuti kana mune hama dzenyu dzine majeri, potai muchinodzimaira muchiona kuti vari sei. Potai muchivatumira zvinhu zvinovabatsira, zvinana vhiks, mishonga yezvikosoro, kuitira kuti kana vabatwa nedenda iri vanokwanisa kuzvinwawo. Zvinoita kuti kurwadza kwacho kusabva kwanyanyisa pane kuti munhu arwara asina chaanacho. Vanenge vachingopiwa mvura inenge ichidziya, ndiwo chete zvavanopiwa nejeri. Hapana chimwe chinhu chavanopiwa. Chikafu chacho chavanenge vachidya chinotoita kuti zvinhu zviite wese. Vanoita iya inonzi malnutrition, yekudya chikafu chisingakwanisi kukupa kuti unyatsosimba zvakanaka. Saka situation yeCovid nehealth mujeri, utano hwevanhu hauna kumira mushe. Ndava mishonga yacho munenge musina. Saka vamwe vanhu vanotongopona nekuti Mwari anenge achivatarisa kuti vasafe.
Maybe if you can tell us the same in English, what is the situation like in the jails when it comes to COVID-19, and what can those with relatives in the jails do at this point in time?
I think the situation of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe's prisons is dire at the moment, because sometimes the testing is not even done. When I left prison, I requested that they do a test so that I know my status. They couldn't even do it. There's no medication at Kurubi Hospital specifically, because that's where I stayed. And I've seen a lot of people fall sick, and they just pull through on their own through their immunity and the grace of God. When you speak to the nurses at the hospital, they actually tell you that sometimes they don't have gloves. I was going to court last week, and I asked them if I could get gloves, and they said, Mr. Chingon, we do not have gloves. The things that you write about every day, you are now seeing them in person, in real life. We don't have these things.
Mm-hmm. And also, maybe, Gibbs, let me go back to Demloot. So that hashtag, how popular has it become? And also, what impact do you think it has, especially on the youth? Because you have been complaining. I've seen you bantering with some of the singers like Ja Prayzah. You're bantering with, you know, some social media personalities about the role of the youth, especially in this era that we live in. What impact has that Dem Youth hashtag and your song had?
I was beautifully surprised, Marvelous, because the response was huge. I mean, it was trending on number one for days. On social media, and the impact it even had in the region was amazing. I spoke to TV stations, to radio stations in South Africa, in Zambia. Yesterday I was speaking to people in Namibia. I spoke to people in Botswana. I spoke to people in Malawi, because it has a relevance to how we are living our lives on the continent in Africa. Most of the countries on the continent are badly run, although Zimbabwe is one of the worst. So it resonated with the youth, because it was an art form they could relate to. That's why you see that they are going into their homes and they're doing their own versions, because it's something that they can relate to, and it's an easy art form. They feel comfortable with that. So I'm really pleased that I did something which I did not realize was going to be so impactful, but it was.
Now, when we look at other issues, you know, the hashtag ZANU-PF must go?
Yes, I've seen it.
Is that the first hashtag that you did on Twitter?
Some people say that was not mine. That I did not start that. It was started by a lady from Gwanda.
Mamox.
Yes.
So do you have any relations with government? Because there are some people who are saying, maybe Chingono is working with these guys, you know. That's why they're not ruffling him so much. Any ties with government?
Well, if I had ties with government, would I be spending 80 days of my 6 months in prison? Of course not. I don't have ties with government. And if I had ties with government, they wouldn't be arrested. And it was COVID-19. The 80 days I was in prison, I was exposed to COVID-19. I was just lucky not to have contracted it. But if any other person could have put in the same situation that I was in, they could have contracted COVID. Look at Fadzai Mahere. She was put in the same situation I was in. She was unfortunate, and she contracted the virus.
Mm-hmm. There's a question here from one of our followers on VOA, Shona. Anzina Neo Shingirai Mufori, what's the next expose? Now that you've done hashtag the loot, you've been doing all these exposes, what can people look forward to? What's the way forward now?
10 seconds.
We just want to look at how government is functioning. I'm worried that the Auditor General hasn't released her reports since 2018. So we are asking government why that has been the case. We suspect that there are some things that are not good in those reports, and we will work on that to see what it is that they're trying to hide.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And time is not on our side. We should take this opportunity to thank the journalist, Opel Chingono. Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Chingono, for joining the show. And this is Gibbs Dube in Maryland saying good night, Zimbabwe.
Tinotenda, hope to see you again when you do the next expose. I'm Marvelous Mshanganya, who are in Washington, saying have a very good weekend.